there's so many Native Americans. I mean, I can't even begin to name them all, but you are definitely one of them that a lot of the youngins can look up to. By no means are you an old person, but to me, you are an elder. And a lot of my life, I did look up to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I saw you as a businessman. I saw you as a champion grass dancer. I looked up and I thought, man, here's a guy that can really do it all. You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate that.
And then, I mean, no, I'm not, you know, like, I understand that you're a very humble person too. I mean, for those of you listening, yes, Rusty is a very humble person. He even gave me a heads up. He's like, hey, man, you know, don't be buttering my bread too much there, right? You know? But, you know what I mean? But it's true, though. And a lot of people that I have on this show, I tell them that. Not as, like, a way to just, you know, brown nose, if you will, but it's the truth. And like, it goes with everybody. Like, I had Darlene Perkins on before, and I had Miss Indian World. And a lot of times, just by doing what you're doing, a lot of people don't realize, myself included, like, my nieces, my nephews, I have a lot of younger people in my family, without knowing it, have told me now that I'm older, and I don't know why. Maybe I think as you get older, people think, like, they got to tell you these things. I don't mm-hmm. know why, but mm-hmm. that you were something to look up to, or, like, you mm-hmm. told them something, or maybe had faith in them mm-hmm. at one point in time.
And that can come from anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be the best basketball yeah. player. You don't have to be the best singer, mm-hmm. dancer, whatever it may be, football mm-hmm. player. You don't have to be the best. You just mm-hmm. have somebody to look up to you that you don't even realize it. And that's the problem with people who are having a hard time, whether it be at home or school, even though there's nobody there sitting there telling you good things about yourself, that there are people who look up to you and support wherever you're at, whatever mm-hmm. you're doing. You might not see them. You might not even hear about it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that are said about our people that we don't hear about.
Yep.
Good things, bad things, mm-hmm. everything. And to hear the good things would be great, but yep. we don't. And we think that all of a sudden, you know, when you get depressed, and everybody suffers from depression, no matter yep. who you are.
Yeah.
Those things would be good to hear and hear mm-hmm. that support, and those things get lost when our emotions get away from us.
Yeah, one of the things that I think it's really funny to think about is when I first started doing video editing, photography, and all that good stuff, like when you were talking about, the only one here about the bad things, like we'll touch on the protest, you know, the big infamous pipeline protest. And one thing, we can talk about all the bad stories here and there, but the positive thing that I've seen that's amazing, that not a lot of people are even thinking about nationwide, but I'm seeing just from my own experience, and maybe you are too, and mm-hmm. tell me if I'm right here, when that little bit of national media attention on an actual positive message, yet whatever happened, whatever you want to think and all that, the meaning and the message behind that was a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
And that positive message alone, and that little bit of national attention and spotlight on the negative, if we take that negative, throw it off to the side, the Native American culture, the designs, the thought process is now booming into a point that back in the 60s and 70s this happened, mm-hmm. where all the hippies were, you know, wearing all this and that, and they were trying to, you know, be, you know, that's where the term like peace pipe became synonymous with you know, like marijuana, different stuff like mm-hmm. that. And now Native American business people, they may not be that popular here in Bismarck, Mandan, or the North Dakota area, but in California, New York, all these other places are just, the Native American explosion is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever?
Well, we're kind of seeing, you know, because of the issue, we mm-hmm. are seeing a lot more attention, and we're seeing our reach as Native mm-hmm. American people, which has always been there. I mean, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 7 years,
yep.
and I can't tell you how many people thought it was so cool that I was Native American.
Yeah, right?
I was the only Native American they ever
yep.
met.
Yep.
You know, and their questions that they have, you know, do you still live in teepees?
Yep,
no
yep.
teepees, or what's going on? You know, like, there, you'd be crazy at the people that don't know about our people. Mm-hmm. And we don't reach those people because our numbers are so small.
Yep.
I mean, we are almost decimated. I mean, you talk mm-hmm. about the Jewish Holocaust, and they mm-hmm. say 7 out of 10 Jewish people were sacrificed or died.
Yep, yep.
When people don't realize that in our own area, 9 of every 10 Native Americans yep. died from disease and warfare. Like, our numbers are so, what we have left here, when mm-hmm. you really think about it, we have the strongest of the strong.
Yeah.
We have definitely. The people that made it through that time mm-hmm. who are still here. And so when you look at our fellow Native American people, our tribal members, like, we are strong, resilient people.
Yep.
And, you know, when the issue came down in Standing Rock, and it gave us a chance to really come together as people, it was a controversial topic at the time, and it really drew a lot of divide in our state, because mm-hmm. we are still trying to heal from it.
Yep.
And for us, as, like, you know, I know you grew up in this area. Yep. I grew up in this area. I always considered Bismarck home.
Me too.
But because of the few negative things that people post on social media, all of a sudden everybody hates Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way Native Americans people
yep.
feel. I mm-hmm. mean, people were literally scared to come to Bismarck Mandan,
yep.
and they still are. They're mm-hmm. like, you don't know how many times I go to, like, a powwow in California, and people are like, so do you feel safe? Like,
yeah.
going around there? Is it safe? Yep. Is it okay? Like, you know, the United Tribes is coming up, and they're like, is it safe to go to the powwow?
Yep.
And it's just this thinking, because of our social media and the yep. way, when you talk about Facebook and our social media, how it's easily manipulated by Facebook itself, putting mm-hmm. things in front of you, and how people can put, like, fake stories, stories that portray Indians in a bad way, mm-hmm. can portray the pipeline in a bad way,
yep.
whoever it may be. You'd be surprised at how the people who control your perception and way of thought, and it can be manipulated in it. And that whole process through Standing Rock really divided our state, because everybody outside the state supports the Native yep. American people.
Yep.
Like, you go to California, you go,
yeah.
we've had letters of support from LA, Seattle, mm-hmm. New York City, all over the country. Yeah. But when we come to our own state,
yeah,
it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to dwell on what's happened but there is a awareness that it happens on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So not only were Native American people portrayed negatively through that whole as a hostile
yeah.
people, the non-Indians yeah. were, like, militant
mm-hmm.
and they're shooting rubber bullets and mace, and, like, there's both sides to
yep.
to it. And you know what, our social media, our circles were saying these things, we are mm-hmm. seeing stories reported this way, when the same story could be reported on the other side and mean something totally different. It was really hard. And for me as a person, I always considered Bismarck home.
Me too.
And I really would like the people to understand that we do sacrifice our rights as Native American people, because honestly, if our endangered species actually have more rights than us as Native American people right now,
mm-hmm.
because if there was a, you know, say a woodpecker or some type of endangered species who had a nesting
yeah.
place where that pipeline went, they would yep. have rerouted it.
Yeah.
But because there's nothing that protects us as Native American mm. people, we were the infrastructure, and the things that Trump and talks about is and the building of the infrastructure and how to make that grow. Our argument is always at the expense of Indians.
Yep.
You'd look at the dams along the river. Where are those dams? They're all in reservations.
Yeah. And then I remember that we had a guest on the other day that was talking about how her grandma remembers when the waters rose and how mm-hmm. many towns and different mm-hmm. people they displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brought up something in my mind, because you know, I wasn't around for that, and nor, you know, I'm a Cheyenne River Sioux shout out, and then you're from the Three Affiliated Tribes mm-hmm. area, so you probably heard that in your storyline coming up from your elders,
mm-hmm.
and I never really heard about that on my side. What I heard about is my mom's from the Oglala Reservation, so I heard about the A movement and all that mm-hmm. back in the day, but just see, then I sat there and dwelled on it, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, they really did displace a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it took away our richest lands.
Yeah,
definitely. And that's just one aspect of it. Think about, we're still trying to, we live by the river, mm-hmm. but we don't have access to the river. You know,
true,
we don't
yeah.
have the shores.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, like, a lot of crazy things going on, but it's always at the expense of our people. And
mm-hmm.
that was the whole reason behind Standing Rock, is why does that pipeline have to go there?
Yep, yep.
And it was about location in the beginning, and mm-hmm. then you had a lot of groups from all over the country, all over the world, who all of a sudden they're twisting their messages, and all these different personal messages out of the camp came mm-hmm. About different things. Pretty soon it was about fighting oil industry as
yeah.
a whole. Pretty soon it was just a lot of different
mm-hmm.
Messages when Originally, Standing Rock didn't want that pipeline right there.
Exactly. And then everybody, no matter what they were representing, came here and stuck their platform on it to get famous off it, per se.
Because there's nothing that protects it. Yep. You know, it's going through treaty lands, which when you talk about treaties, it says in the Constitution that our treaties are the ultimate law of the land. Mm-hmm. It says that in our Constitution, but yet our treaties don't mean anything. So when that went through treaty lands, that was our argument. This is our, there's nothing that protects us. There's sacred objects in that area that we don't want damaged or misplaced. And the support from across the country, because every tribe in the U.S. has the same argument. They're fighting some type of protection of their sacred sites. And it's hard because one of the arguments when Standing Rock happened is they wanted to come in and do assessments. So we have people coming in telling us to our people or the Standing Rock people about telling us what's sacred, what's not, what's important, what's not important. So there's that whole confusion, it's a no-win situation. And when you reach out to your congressmen, your senators, whoever it may be, and you talk about protecting sacred sites, it's a voodoo topic. You don't bring it up, because that means giving land back to Native American people, and that's just not going to happen.
That's very true. And then, like, we just kind of talked about the negatives there, but then from all of that stuff that happened, then what you were just saying about what happened, you know, when you were in DC, how everybody thought it was so cool to be a native, like right here in our area for the natives that live here. Like, one thing that I thought when all that was going down was like, nobody's thinking about how this is going to impact us natives that have to live here.
Exactly. When you talk about the roadblock that was put up, it wasn't just a roadblock. It was a mental roadblock as well. And whether our Native American people who live in the Bismarck community on the north side, we were divided. And you know, it was hard on my family, that idea of living on the north side, because now we're in the process of trying to build and raise our family on the reservation, because the roadblock was like, there's this divide. It divided us in a lot of different ways.
We
felt it wasn't necessary. It was outrageous, but it was an idea of this roadblock, and it was the idea of protecting, and whatever it may be, it also had negative effects that divided us on both sides.
Yep. And then the other thing that I always thought about was like the workers that have to travel from Bismarck, Mandan to down in Fort Yates.
Exactly. There's so much. That's our artery. You know, there's so many people who choose to live in Bismarck, Mandan who go down there.
And then nobody like really even thought of that at the time. You know what I mean? Just focused on, well, here's what happened and this is bad. Yeah. But then I was thinking, it's my sisters. A lot of my sisters work down there, and I have a lot of family that work down there.
Yeah.
And they didn't, there was points where they were like, you know, it doesn't bother me. I don't, you know, what's going on down there, but now I have to drive, you know, an extra 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Like
the 45 minute drive is now what was an hour and a half that took that back road. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, and to get to, I mean, what would have been is probably 10, 15, 20 minutes from Fort Rice to Cannonball.
Yep.
All of a sudden that 20 minutes turns into like an extra 45 minutes, which doesn't sound like a lot.
But
everybody goes to Bismarck.
Yep.
Everybody from Cannonball comes up to town. Everybody from up here goes down there. Yeah. Like,
because that extra 20 miles down is 20 miles back, and that's 40. And the people that are working, that's what is that? That's what is that? 100? No, 200 extra miles they have to travel.
And then
a
you
week.
Throw in our horrible winter that we had last year with the snow and icy roads and record snowfalls. And that extra 20 minutes was huge. And it not only for our Native American people, but for our non-Indians too, because a lot of people go down to the casino for concerts and whatever happens, and all of a sudden they're not going.
Yep.
Because
they're afraid of
they're afraid of a lot of things there, which is kind of unfortunate, because the Standing Rock people took a huge hit in that whole concept. And that's why council took was asking people to leave, because they could only take so much.
Yep.
You know, it's like the casino's working at a fraction of the income, and that's what pays our projects, our community events. Like, we pay for so much it's our only business, really. You know that markets to the Bismarck Mandan community, and it took a hit. And living in the Bismarck Mandan area, I don't want to like dwell on a lot of the things and create a lot of mad listeners because definitely. I do feel like we need to grow from it. We need to move on, because I'm one of those people who live in this community, and I will be honest, I feel like I don't belong.
Yep.
All of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm kind of mad. I'm kind of mad about my peers, my neighbors.
Yeah.
And we all need to get over this fury or this anger because of things we read, because of our differences, whether it be politically, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're Native American, whether you're non-Indian, it doesn't matter. We really got to get over this fury and really like heal from this. Yep. And we got, and honestly, that's why I try to do a lot of volunteer work as much as I can, because I am from this community and I don't want to act like I am somebody or somebody, but I've been here long enough to know quite a few people, and I've just tried to constantly raise awareness that things can get confusing and things can move really fast in a negative way. And sometimes we can't control that.
And then one thing that a lot of Native Americans in this area I noticed are doing because of, you know, all that negative stuff, the positive coming from that is you're seeing Native American businesses and artists and, you know, beadwork exploding across the U.S. Like, look at groups like A Tribe Called Red and Itani Means and Superman. These are all artists that didn't use that as a platform to make themselves famous or whatever, but more so people started looking into natives and whatnot. And A Tribe Called Red is an EDM group. And granted, by no means do they represent, like, this is what native music is, but they were able to blend contemporary music with, you know, powwow music and kind of like appeal to this younger generation and audience. And with that, now they've been using, I can't remember what is their tribe that they're always talking about, but I've seen one of their music videos, and now they're using that to like not talk about anything regarding bad stuff, but they're just kind of like, this is what we go through in our nation, you know, in our tribe.
And people, the part that I'm most proud of in the last year and all the events that happened in the last year is that you have mainstream media, whether it be CNN, whether it be Vice TV.
Yeah.
You have people who want to report on the positive things.
Yep.
They don't want to hear about all the negative. They don't want to hear about, they don't want to tell a story about drunk and broke Indians.
Yep.
And that's the part that really gets me emotional and excited, is because people are finally learning about us in a positive way. Yep. And they're like breaking down a lot of stereotypes, which might not mean a lot to a lot of people in North Dakota or whatever, but for people nationally, it's really important, because I lived in Washington, D.C. and it was hard. I mean, I don't even refer to myself as Indian anymore, because you say you're Indian out in Washington, it doesn't mean you're Native American. It means you're East Indian.
Yep.
So there's just so many different things that I learned, whether it be issues on the mascots, whether it be issues in our local governments, our senators, all our congressmen. And I really learned a lot about how Indians are viewed, where we come from, that we don't even know. We don't even realize. I mean, in New York, we still live in teepees and it's crazy. It's crazy.
I interviewed Shailene Woodley, and then I thought it was funny that even her coming out here and all these other celebrities, you know, that was a positive thing too, because then they can go back to where they are and talk about, you know, like, well, no, they're good people. And that's, you know,
yeah. And you know what? Even celebrities coming to North Dakota to do things, it's like, even that can be negative, because people think we're paying celebrities.
Yeah.
They're getting paid to for their certain viewpoints. And it's just like, you know, we just got to get over this. This kind of crabs in a bucket mentality that we don't have necessarily cross culture, but within our own people.
I just thought it was cool that one day I was down there and I was like, hey, that's the Hulk. The Hulk is here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that was a good feeling.
There's so many people that have come to North Dakota for different things. I mean, when I was in up in Mandaree and partial powwow last year, all of a sudden Pharrell comes walking
Pharrell
by.
Yeah, Pharrell Williams was up there.
Like,
I heard about
what
that.
What the heck? You know, like, what is he doing at a powwow? But you know what? Even that, our crabs in a bucket mentality, they're like, he's stealing Native American culture. He's stealing it to make money off. His you know, his design line, and this whole crabs in a bucket thing has just gotta go, because we have people coming wanting to learn about our people, and somehow that's a negative thing.
Right. Somehow we always fish. Or like when Shia LaBeouf was in Oglala, remember he's in Pine Ridge Reservation? I remember that too. Another thing I want to ask you, because Wow, we really got off topic there. But it was a good thing. Businesses. Like, you got, what's your company called?
I5 Graphics.
I5 Graphics. You guys got a website?
No, you know, fortunately, I've been my own employee. I'm a one-man company.
Yeah.
I work out of my home, and I've been fortunate enough to not really have to put myself out there to bring in work.
Yeah.
And that's like the thing I'm most thankful for. My schedule's pretty busy. And with travel, I still do like to dance at powwows. Yep, I work a lot of powwows. I still like to follow my kids. My kids are pretty active in their sports, and like to develop them and whatever they love to do, whether it be football or basketball. You know, my son just graduated from Haskell University, and my daughter's in her freshman year at Montana State, and my son's the only one left home. He's 13. And so just two kids out the door, and I have a little bit more time to do other things, but I've just been real fortunate to be able to fill my schedule and pay for some bills and things like that. I'm not going to get rich. You know, nobody will get rich off of being a graphic artist, no matter what they say, no matter how cool they tell themselves they are or how deadly their work is. There's just, you're not going to have Lamborghinis in the driveway.
I guess, I'm not a graphic artist, but I'll take your word for it. But one thing that's really amazing is meeting you and then knowing you, you know, for as long as I have. And, you know, I remember when I was little, least, you know, out in the circle, I'd come up and I'd talk to you. And
you were one of those kids who, you know, kids grow up. So when they're young, they come up, they chat, they like to talk, and then they get to be about 13, 14. And all of a sudden they get kind of quiet and shy and real stand back. But it's interesting that one of those little kids who would come up, chat, talk your ear off, and then be on his way, and then all of a sudden they get too cool for you.
I miss powwows, and I go back when I can. And but one thing that as a young man, I did look up to you, and you were an awesome person, and not just me, but I look at the bigger picture, and there are so many Native Americans in this area that have led the way, paved the way for a positive change in the Native American architecture, regarding our culture, regarding just our identity. Like, because it's good to have positive people that we can look at and go, well, that person did it, and if they can do it, then I can too. And I know that it's not just me speaking on this. Like, there's a lot of other people too that would look at you, and that's why I'm very glad, and thank you so much for being on the show. It has been an honor, Rusty.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I mean, and it's so much for our youth to know that when you look at our Division I athletes, you look at the things Bronson Koenig just did. He was in the Final Four. He's got drafted to the Bulls.
Right.
And he's probably, I think he's in the D League now. But just little things like that, Shoni Schimmel. And even my wife worked in the White House. Yeah. She worked for the president. And
President was that? The Obama, right?
Obama. And so you look at little things like that people are doing in our communities, you realize that the world, our goals are not that far away.
And Bronson just had a basketball camp not that long ago, too. My daughter went there.
And it's not, whether you want to be a doctor, whether you want to, and we talk about this all the time, where you can reach your goals if you really want to. But it's like, people don't realize what we see on TV is not that far away.
No, it's not.
No, and it's easily attainable. And we got to get over this thinking of being oppressed. And we got to lift that. Because it does have its effects, and it does affect people, especially when they get to places where things do get overwhelming and we feel like we have to give up. We don't. Things are fine. Everybody goes through those things.
Because when that point comes in our lives, we always have to think, we come from a culture and a people that never gave up, because if they did, then we wouldn't be here.
Exactly. So we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have what we have.
Yeah. And one thing that's cool about natives that I like is we're always smiling, we're always laughing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people,
like,
don't realize the humor.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize that you meet a Native American and you're going to get teased at some point.
Definitely.
And if they don't tease you in a mean way sometimes, then they don't like you.
Exactly.
If they don't say anything to you, they don't like you.
Yo, that's so, I know everybody here at the studio knows that too.
Yeah.
I tease all of them. It's a good time.
Yeah.
But again, for those of you just tuning in, this is KDAP 102.5 FM. And again, I want to thank you, Rusty. We'll have to get you back on the show again because you have amazing insights and amazing everything.
Like, sure. I mean, we could sit here all day and talk about basketball or talk about powwows.
We'll get you back on and we'll talk about more things because this is normally, as everybody knows, this is a half hour show, but this time I'm going for a special one. This is an hour long show. So yeah, this
will
be my
first hour.
That's
because I can't shut up.
No, it's because you have a lot of really good things to say. So again, thank you, Rusty, for being on the show, and I look forward to having you back sometime.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Again, a huge thank you to the legend himself live. He was in the studio. We had an amazing talk, an amazing discussion. Rusty Gillette, again, a huge thank you. Everybody out there in the powwow world anyway knows him. For those of you who don't, well, now you know. Again, thank you for tuning in to 102.5 FM Bismarck Mandan's community radio station. That's KDAC 102.5 FM. Again, huge thank you to the Sacred Pipe Resource Center and the other legend, Dr. Cheryl Carey, Executive Director of Sacred Pipe Resource Center. Also, a big shout out to Josh, Jim, everybody at Dakota Media Access. Thank you, without which none of this would be possible. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Coming from Matt LeClaire on Spark Talk, because we all know you deserve it.